Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the cross, unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name.
Amen.
That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow.
Amen.
Of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
To the glory of God the Father. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same as his lovely name. And that's the reason why I love him so. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. What a wonderful Savior.
Amen.
And what a wonderful privilege to be in this place again tonight. Pastor, thank you for the privilege. I never take that for granted. Don't we have a great pastor?
Yes.
Kind-hearted and tender and loving. Loves you. And loves the church and the people, the gospel. And I know that you're happy that we're all together tonight in the name of Christ. What else could we ask for but a privilege of being together in the sweetest name in heaven, on earth, under the earth, or anywhere else? He is Lord of all.
Amen.
Well, most of you know that one of my favorite Beatitudes is, blessed is a preacher that can get airborne without using too much runway. Well, I've used enough runway. Open, by the way, did I tell you when you open the Bible opens the mind of God. Let's see what God's thinking about in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter number 23. As you're finding your place in Matthew chapter 23, I should remind you again, as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives.
Amen.
And the Bible is right.
Amen.
All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.
Amen.
All flesh is as grass. All the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And I'm glad it's settled right here on earth in this wonderful book that we call the Bible, inspired, infallible, inerrant, impeccable, indestructible, powerful and precious and perfect and pure and preserved for us in our own language in the King James Version.
Amen.
Isn't the Bible a wonderful book?
Yes.
As you know, the series of messages for Wednesday night in July, don't look now, but your attitude is showing. Tonight, the attitude of pride. Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 12, and I shall read it after we pray. Would you join with me in prayer? Our Father, we are grateful for this hour and for the wonderful word that we know is true from beginning to end. We know that you have spoken, and the men of your old have written what we need to know in our service, in our hearts, in our lives, in our minds tonight. We know, dear Lord, that every message has a different tone. And this message is not the ordinary message that we would preach, but these are messages that deal with attitudes. And we know that we all have some attitudes once in a while. We're all stained with pride once in a while in some way or another. So I pray that you'd speak to us about this matter. Enlighten our hearts, encourage us, inform us, inspire us, convict us, convince us of who we are and why we're here and what may be going wrong in our lives. Help us to be on the altar of prayer in our hearts through this hour. In Jesus' name I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Matthew chapter number 23 and verse number 12. And these words come from the lips of the Savior, and you know how much I love to quote Jesus. And here it is. He said, whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth shall humble himself shall be exalted. The wise man felt the same way about the matter. In Proverbs 29 and verse 23, he wrote, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. In my text of only 17 words, Jesus establishes the true relationship between pride and humility. Listen again of what he said. He who exalts himself shall be brought low, that is, abased, humbled, brought down. Now, the only direction to go from pride is down. The only direction to go from humility is up. I read about a young preacher who just finished his seminary training and was preaching the first time in his home church. He walked up into the pulpit with his head held high, with a look of arrogance on his face. He opened the Bible. He started preaching. He just couldn't get it all together. I mean, it was just, he fumbled the ball. He struck out. And he knew it. So when he walked down from the pulpit, he went down with his head down, discouraged, defeated, disillusioned, disappointed. Soon after the service, he went to the office of the pastor and said, Pastor, I don't understand it. I prepared thoroughly for this message, but I just couldn't get it all together. The old pastor answered, Son, if you had gone up into the pulpit the way you came down, you would have come down the way you went up. That's something to think about, isn't it? Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and watch this, and a haughty spirit before a fall. You see, it's not the outlook, but the uplook that makes the difference in the outcome. The most despicable, perhaps the most anti-Christian attitude possessed by any Christian is pride, the attitude of pride. Did you know that our Lord condemned pride more than he did adultery, lying, cheating, stealing? Pride is a very insidious sin. It has a tendency to slip into the hearts of the most religious people on earth. No group of people were more religious in Jesus' day than the Pharisees. They tithed, they fasted twice a week. They kept the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, or the Decalogue. In addition to that, they had over 600 unwritten laws by which they governed their lives. They thought they were a cut above. And if you think you're a cut above, you know what you'll do? You'll look down around those people around you. You'll look down your nose at other people. And when you do, you usually get the wrong slant. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, where he gives us the parable of two men who went into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee. The other was a publican. The Pharisee represented the far right religiously. The publican represented the far left. Here's how Jesus put it. Listen carefully. And he spake this parable, verse 9 of chapter 18 in Luke. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. You ever find yourself praying with yourself? God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. That's more than I can say for a lot of people. Don't look now, but your attitude is showing. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. What a picture Jesus gives us of the extremes on the part of two different people. People are proud in different ways of different things. Would you believe it? Some people are proud of their humility. We've all heard it said, he's so proud, he's humble. Some are proud of their ignorance. And believe me, some people I know have a lot to be proud of. Some are proud of their sweet disposition, always dripping with honey. I must warn you that many a honeybee has drowned in his own honey, so be careful. Charles H. Spurgeon said, be not proud of race, face, place, or grace. Come to think about it, we have nothing to be proud of. We have nothing to boast about. Everything we have, listen, ladies and gentlemen, everything that we have comes from God.
Amen.
Life itself is God's gift to us. Yes. The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. That's God's gift. By the way, God's life is God's gift to you, and what you do with it is your gift to him. Health comes from God. Wisdom. The air we breathe, the food we eat, the water we drink, the energy we have to work and go, our shelter, our transportation, our clothing, everything. James put it this way in his first chapter, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of changing or turning. Listen to what God said about himself in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. You thought the only verse we knew was verse 10, didn't you? Some of you know verse 10. In verse 6, God said, I am the Lord, I change not. Someone observed that God never intended for us to pat ourselves on the back. If he had, he would have made our hinges different. By the way, be careful. Don't break your arm while patting yourself on the back. The most heinous sin recorded in the Bible is related to pride. That's the story of Satan, Isaiah chapter 14, where he made five boasting I wills. He closed them with, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High. Wow. Satan rising up. You know, he was the most beautiful creature. You can read it in Ezekiel. The most beautiful creature, other than the Godhead, that was in heaven, in charge of worship. But he said, I'll be somebody. I will. God said, you will not. Listen to what Jesus said. Don't you love to hear what Jesus said?
Yes.
I love to quote Jesus. You know that. Luke 10 and verse 18, Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning. God got it over quickly. You ever see lightning just seconds? I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Isaiah had already referenced that in his 14th chapter at verse 12. When he said to Satan, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Why did he fall from heaven? Because of pride. Now, there are two philosophies by which you can govern your life. Number one is the philosophy of Satan. It's summed up in just two words. I will. When you say, I will, you're following the philosophy of Satan. Remember, it got him into big trouble. And I promise you, it'll get you into trouble too. The second system is the philosophy of Jesus. That's also summed up in two words. Thy will. Thy will. Remember in the garden at midnight, praying alone? With the disciples a stone throw away, he prayed three prayers and said basically the same thing. Thy will, he said, not my will. Thy will be done. So when you say thy will, you're living by the philosophy of Jesus. May I get personal? Are you living an I will Christian life or a thy will Christian life? Pride, ladies and gentlemen, is a matter of the heart. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. Jesus put it this way in Mark 7 at verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts. Adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride. There it is listed among the grosser sins, pride and foolishness. All of these things, Jesus said, come from within and defile the man. Jeremiah 17:9, Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 18 and verse 3. Except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Pride is anti-God. Pride is anti-Christ. Pride is anti-Christian. The sin that keeps many people from, from yielding to Christ is not adultery. It's not cheating. It's not lying. It's not drunkenness. It's pride. Too proud to kneel before the cross of Christ and repent of their sins. Too proud to become as a little child. Too proud to admit that they are sinners. Did I hear someone say, I'm a self-made man and I don't need any outside influence to direct the course of my life? Could I tell you that if you could make yourself, the first thing you would do is fall in love with your Maker. I should tell you that a man wrapped up in himself makes a mighty small package. And he who is in love with himself has very little competition. Now, here's a major question. How does pride affect people? I suggest three ways. Number one, pride causes people to think more highly of themselves than they ought to think. The Apostle Paul smothered that idea in Romans chapter 12 at verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, that is rationally, soberly, according as God dealt to every man the measure of faith. Ladies and gentlemen, he who thinks more highly of himself than he should would have to be labeled an egotist. An egotist, ladies and gentlemen, is one who is always knee-deep in conversation. An egotist is one who likes mirrors, but can never understand what others see in them. An egotist is an eye specialist. That's a capital I. And when two egotists meet, you have a perfect case of an eye for an eye. The best definition of egotism that I've ever read is a hypodermic that God allows a man to administer to himself to deaden the pain of being a fool. The second thing that pride does, now I told you this wasn't a hallelujah message when I started. I haven't seen anybody shout yet. Second thing, it causes strife and contention. The wise man addressed that in Proverbs 3:10, where he wrote, only by pride cometh contention. Contention in the home, between husband and wife, between parents and children, between siblings, contention in the workplace. Now, those of you who've been in the workplace very long, you've seen that. Maybe you've been a part of it. Contention in the church. Isn't that sad? You know, I've been around a long time. And honestly, I've seen the sweetest spirit in this church than I believe I've ever seen anywhere at any time. Thank God for people who love each other. Does that mean we don't have any differences? Absolutely not. You may want to wear a red tie, and I may wear a purple tie. You may have one idea about something, but all in all, the sweet fellowship that we enjoy as brothers and sisters in Christ without being contentious. The proud person is often aggressive, argumentative, irritable, antisocial. The proud person often becomes hostile, which is a sure sign that the love of God does not control his life. In his symphony of love in 1 Corinthians 13 at verse 4, Paul wrote, charity, that is love, is not puffed up. That simply says he's not proud. You see, love is not proud. So when pride comes in, love is diminished. The third thing that pride does, it leads to vanity. The wise man said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. The psalmist spoke against vanity and Psalm 24, at verse 4, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity. Webster defines vanity as excessive pride in one's achievements or one's appearance. We've all heard that little ditty that says, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? Thank you. We all know what that's about. We felt that way, I'm sure. There's a second major question. What does God think of pride? Two things. Number one, God hates pride. It's written in Proverbs chapter 6 at verse 16. These six things the Lord hates. Does the Lord hate? And about that time, it seems to me that the Holy Spirit reminded him of something else. Because he said, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. He started listing them. All seven of them. And guess which was number one? Top of the list. A proud look. God hates pride in any form. The second thing, God resists pride. James wrote in chapter 4 at verse 6, "Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud." That word resist suggests that he pulls away from it. He withdraws himself from pride. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Now there's a third major question. What is the cure for pride? Ladies and gentlemen, there's only one cure for pride, and that is humility. Remember my text, what Jesus said? He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. He that exalteth himself shall be humbled. Humbling yourself is a definite and deliberate act of your will. God is not going to force you to be humble. James put it this way in his fourth chapter at verse 10. Humble yourselves, and the understood subject of that verse is you. You humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Folks, it's easy to see that the way up is down. Now, in the process of humbling yourself, three things are necessary. Number one, admit that you need God's help. Remember what Jesus said? I'm quoting Jesus again. I love to quote Jesus. He said in John 15:5, "Without me, you can do nothing." Nothing. Nothing is nothing. Don't even try it without him. The second thing, you must confess the sin of pride as you would confess any other sin. Listen to what John wrote. You know it. 1 John 1:9. If we confess... You know that word means to agree with God. Look at it as God looks at it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins.
Amen.
And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
What a wonderful God we serve.
Yes.
A third thing in humbling yourself, you must seek divine guidance. In Psalm 32 and verse 8, God makes his guidance available to anyone. Listen to what he said. "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." And God, listen, God has 20/20 vision. No astigmatism, no blind spots. No short-sightedness. When you're following the eye of God, you're walking in a path of righteousness for his name's sake. Someone asked Augustine, one of the early church fathers, "What is the first Christian grace?" To which he replied, "Humility." "What then is the next?" He answered, "Humility." You see, when you humble yourselves, Augustine said, you have all the graces of the Christian faith. Following, humbling yourself before God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Are you ready? It's summed up in one sentence. Please don't miss this. If you will blend your will into God's will, you will be well on your way of becoming the humble servant that God has ordained your life to be. The attitude of pride, don't look now, but your attitude is showing. Let's stand for our prayer. As we stand together, as heads are bowed, the altar's open. I know it's Wednesday night. I know this hasn't been a message to to make you have the most thrills you could ever have in your life, or to be the happiest thing that ever happened to you, to hear a message like this on pride, exposing that horrible, despicable sin that God hates. Now let me ask you a question. You don't want to have anything in your life that God hates, do you? He hates pride. As I said earlier, Jesus condemned pride more than adultery, cheating, lying, stealing, drunkenness, and all the rest. What about it in your life? Has God spoken to you in this message? Are you here tonight and this doesn't make any sense at all to you because you've never been saved? We invite you to come and trust Christ. If God has said something to you, and surely he said something to all of us. If not, we're not going to profit much by coming to church tonight. If God, out of his word, did not speak to us, convince us, convict us, then I believe we missed the mark somewhere. If God has spoken to your heart, we're going to sing. Brother Corey is going to lead us in a stanza or two of the invitation. After I pray, I want you, with every head bowed, nobody's going to look at you and say, "What? Why? What's he?" No, no, no. Just if God speaks and convinces you and convicts you, I want you to step out of your... I know what you're going to say, but I can get right with God back here. I know you can, but you'd feel a lot better about it if you knelt at an altar prayer and meet that engagement and that contact that you've been wanting to make with God. And now's the time to make it, and I hope that you will. Our Father, we pray that you will continue to convince and convict our hearts of the sin of pride. Help us to know that that's what you hate. And we don't want to have anything in our lives that you would hate. I pray that you would help us to confess our sin of pride and the things that are attendant upon it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.